Came across this bit of information, I guess to just be honest, last night. You know, I didn't put the first word on paper until 6:30 p.m. and I didn't finish until 8:30 p.m. last night. One of those weeks, one of those kind of grinds. But I found this. Research suggests that the average person is exposed to 74 gigabytes of data per day. And we consume that information through television, computers, cell phones, other media outlets. And I want to kind of put this number into perspective for you, for the people that aren't techies and don't understand what that means. That's the equivalent of watching 16 movies or reading two lengthy novels every single day. So that's a lot of information. The scary thing is not the amount of information as much as it is that number increases roughly 5% every year. So 5% more information will be fed next year. It's a lot. Tucked into all that information are hundreds, if not thousands, of little messages that people are trying to communicate to an audience. Like right now, the trend is people want to have a platform, they want to have a following, and social media has evolved into an arena for people to proclaim any message that they feel is important. And so what that means for us is that we are bombarded every single day with a lot of messages to sort through. Now, here's another interesting piece of research for you. The brain gathers data 100 million times faster than it can actually process that information. So essentially, there are a lot of things that we capture, a lot of things that we hear that we never actually really understand. We take a lot of information in, and the brain grabs it, but we don't process it in a way that it changes who we are to any real degree. So the first parable that we're going to look at today is a parable that Jesus tells that addresses that issue of simply hearing versus hearing and understanding something. But before we dive into that particular parable, I want to give you some information on what a parable actually is. This English word parable is a transliteration of the Greek word parabole. And what that means, if you're not sure what transliteration is, it simply means that we have taken the Greek letters and found the closest equivalent English letter and formed a word. And so the focus is actually more on the lettering of the word than the actual meaning of the word. So we don't have a real close English equivalent of what a parable actually is. The Greek word means to cast alongside or to place one thing beside another. I have heard it often described like this. I read it several times this week. I've heard preachers say this, that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, doesn't that sound so theologically appropriate? To say, well, they're just heavenly stories or earthly stories with heavenly meanings. I had a pastor mentor that used to say, sometimes people get so heavenly minded, they're of no earthly good. And when we approach parables from the perspective that they're earthly stories with heavenly meanings, we can sometimes fall into that trap. I'm not sure the best way to approach parables is to think that their focus is solely on heaven and miss the earthly application of the parable. Tim Mackey, founder of the Bible Project, says that parables were Jesus' way of inviting people to see what God was doing in the world. Now, this is interesting when we think about the two patterns that we've looked at up to this point, is that the patterns ultimately led us to Jesus. And Mackey says that parables were Jesus' way of inviting people to see what God was doing in the world, namely that the parables were pointing people to himself. So the best way to understand any parable is to look at the context in which the parable is given. Now what that means is we can't just read the parable. We have to read what comes before and what comes after the parable. Because the parable is set into the context of an overarching narrative. We have to understand the purpose behind the parables. So one way to think of a parable is to think of it as a commentary. One of the things I do every week when I prepare sermons, I read the text over and over and over. And once I've read the text several times, I pull out what are called Bible commentaries. What Bible commentaries do is they come alongside the text and they break it down. They talk about specific words, specific phrases, context, what was going on at the time. And because it comes alongside, it opens up the biblical account to me. Jesus is very similar. He uses parables to explain what was happening in real time, right in front of people's eyes. So here are three things that are important to keep in mind when you approach any parable that Jesus tells. Now, first off, Jesus is not the only one that uses parables. You can read parables in the Old Testament as well. But Jesus gets to a point in his ministry where he primarily teaches through parables. And this is the way that Jesus used parables. Number one, he used parables to point people to himself, to explain who he was. Number two, he used parables to point out God's kingdom and that it had arrived. And number three, he uses parables to proclaim the kingdom of God values over and against the current social and political values of the day. So today we're going to look at I think it's an easy parable because it's one parable that Jesus actually gives us an explanation. His disciples come to him and say, tell us what it means, and he does. Unfortunately, it's so easy, I think, sometimes we miss it. Like we don't really grasp what this parable is talking about. Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, it's the parable of the sower. It's also a parable that's found in Mark 4 and Luke 8. So all three synoptic gospels have the parable of the sower. There's a slight variation in the parables when it comes to the one particular type of soil's response to the seed. And we'll talk about that in just a few moments. But by and large, they are almost identical. Now, I want to look at Matthew's account because Matthew is very strategic in the construction of his gospel. There's a pattern, actually, to his gospel. And I'm going to just point it out really quickly because I think it'll help us understand where this parable fits. So Matthew presents Jesus three ways in his gospel. He presents Jesus as the Son of David, the Messiah, the king that everybody was expecting. He presents Jesus as the new Moses that would lead people out of the wilderness. And he presents Jesus as God with us. But it's this idea of Jesus being the new Moses that really becomes evident in the way this book is constructed. So you have the first three chapters that serve as an introduction. And then following the first three chapters, there's five main parts of the book. This mirrors the Torah or the law, which were five books in the Torah. And so Matthew writes this gospel and he says, here's five, I want to say it like Jesus's law. Five teachings, segments of teachings of Jesus' ministry. So part one is chapters 4 through 7. It's the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus announces the kingdom of God. Not only announces the kingdom of God, but he talks about what it looks like to live in that kingdom of God. So think about the Beatitudes. This is Jesus saying, this is what the kingdom looks like to live. Then you go to part two, which is chapters 8 through 10. And Jesus takes everything that he taught in the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, and he makes it a living experience. He goes out and he brings kingdom life through healings and the call to follow him in part two. Part three is chapters 11 through 13. And part three focuses on responses to Jesus and parables about the kingdom. So Matthew looks at how these people respond to Jesus, both positive, negative, and neutral responses. And then he says, he has this list of parables where most of these parables start like, the kingdom of heaven is like, and then Jesus gives a parable. This is the section where our parable today falls into, highlighting how people respond to who Jesus is. Part four is chapters 14 through 20, and this is where Matthew surveys the different expectations that people have about the Messiah. And part five is the clash of the kingdoms. It's the kingdom of God clashing with the kingdom of man in chapters 21 through 25. And then we get the conclusion of 26 through 28, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But the theme from the beginning of Matthew to the end of Matthew is the kingdom of God. That is the theme of the book. The kingdom of God and its king. And so the parable of the sower, Matthew 13, 1 through 9, right in the middle. This is what Matthew wrote. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. When the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked out the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, as we dig into this parable and the parables that follow that we'll talk about, I want to avoid hyper-spiritualizing these parables. I want to make these things applicable to our life today. So for this parable, I want to focus on three elements: the sower, the seed, and the soil. Jesus tells this parable to a large group of people. And after he tells the parable, the disciples come to him and they ask him essentially two things. They said, why are you doing this? Why are you speaking in parables? And they say, what does this mean? And Jesus basically tells them, listen, I'm speaking in parables because I want to engage the people who really want to know. See, parables have a way of inviting people who are serious into a deeper conversation, but it also has the ability to turn people who have ulterior motives away. So the crowd that Jesus spoke to was a diverse crowd. There were people in the crowd who really wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, who really wanted to understand who he was. They had heard some things, they had heard the rumblings, and so they go out to find out what is Jesus all about. But there were also people in the crowd who were looking for a way to take him down and to bring shame on his teachings. So there were those who were open in the crowd, and there were those who were threatened by Jesus in the crowd. Now, what's important to understand if you go through and read the rest of this chapter is that Jesus actually invites the disciples' question. He doesn't turn them away. They say, why are you doing it? Tell us what it means. And he said, let me explain it to you. So he gives them the space they needed to sort through what he was really saying. And because they do this, because they ask, we get the meaning of the parable. We can read it. If you go later down through the chapter, Jesus explains it to these disciples. Now, I want you to understand this. I have read this parable. I have read the explanation. And somehow, I have been guilty of messing it up. Somehow, I have been guilty of making this parable about something that is not really about. I've heard what Jesus said, but I've been guilty of not really understanding it. Now, one of the things that sticks out to me in this particular dialogue that Jesus has with the disciples, as he's explaining this parable, Jesus never directly addresses who the sower in the parable is. But I think it's safe to conclude that the sower is Jesus. Because we're told, Jesus says that the sower is sowing the seed that is the basically, the Greek is the word of the kingdom. That's what that phrase is. The sower is sowing the word of the kingdom. Now, remember, this is precisely what Matthew has shown us that Jesus has been doing. Jesus has been proclaiming the word of the kingdom of God. And in that parable, we have the sower, who is Jesus. We have the seed, who is, pay attention, the seed is the message of the kingdom. Then we have four different types of soil, which represent four different types of people and the four ways that they respond to this message of the kingdom. So in this diverse audience, there are people with different motives. There was also something that unified this group of people. And what unified this group of people is that most of those people were Jewish. And so they had all been taught and they all expected, because of the Old Testament, that God would come and reign over his people. Like all of those people had that in their makeup of who they were as a people. That one day God would come and reign and he would deliver them from foreign oppression. And that's what they wanted. The problem was that the way God was coming to reign did not meet the expectations they had of how he would reign. Because what they wanted was somebody that would come in with a lot of might, a lot of power, and they wanted a military leader that would come and rally the troops, lead Israel forward, and forcibly remove Rome from occupying Jerusalem and Israel. So they were looking for a king that could be a military expert and bring restoration to the kingdom. Because in the Jewish mind, like the kingdom, the nation of Israel is the kingdom of God. And so Jesus comes on the scene as a poor Jewish person from an unknown family, like one of the smallest clans in the entire nation. He has no military expertise. He's not connected to any type of rebel. He's a carpenter. And he shows up, and his message is, God's kingdom is here. Repent, the kingdom of God is here. And as he's sowing this seed, he says that some fall on the path, which represents people that hear the message of the kingdom, but they don't understand it. He says the evil one comes. The birds are the evil one that comes and snatches it before it has a chance to take root. Now, the people that we should have in mind, and most likely the people that Jesus had in mind as he was telling this parable, were the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious leaders of his day. Like, this is who he's talking about. Let that sink in. This is religious people. Leaders of Israel. And they're like people who hear it, they don't understand it, they don't even give it a chance to take root. The rocky soil represents a person that hears the message of the kingdom, and because they hear it, they're overjoyed. The problem is they have no root, and the first time that they're faced with trouble or persecution, they fall away. The image that, like a character that we could think about that fits this category perfectly, is Peter. Peter hears the message of the kingdom. He accepts that Jesus is the Messiah. He's one of the most zealous apostles there was. But when things get difficult, when Jesus is arrested, he denies Jesus. You know, I met a guy like this in a Bible study one time. I was a part of it. I think this guy came to Christ in the Bible study and he was so happy. And he was like, he had this passion to tell everybody about Jesus, but life got tough shortly after that. And because life got tough, faith went out the window. Like that's the type of person that is the rocky soil. Then Jesus said there was some seed that fell among the thorns. The thorns is like a person that hears the message of the kingdom, but two things captivate them more than the message of the kingdom. Worries and wealth of the world. The worries of the world and the wealth of the world capture their attention, and the kingdom message is choked out. If we want a picture of what this looks like, we look at Judas. Judas was a person that accepted the message of the kingdom. He accepted Jesus as the Messiah, but he was enticed to betray Jesus by money. And the reality is, it wasn't even that much money. And Jesus says the fourth person is like good soil. Now, notice there's a key difference in this fourth person. They hear the message and they understand the message. Now, this is where Matthew, Mark, and Luke differ slightly. Matthew says they hear it and understand it. Mark says they hear it and accept it. Luke says they hear it, take hold of it, and they persevere in it. And so when we take into account all three gospel writings, we see a pretty good picture of what it means to not just hear the message of the kingdom, but to actually take a hold of it, understand it, accept it, and continue in it. And so remember, this parable, the purpose of this parable is to explain what was happening in real time as Jesus and the disciples went out and proclaimed the kingdom of God. This isn't some like abstract, distant thing. Like, this is Jesus' story saying, this is what is happening right in front of our eyes. This comes after the section of Matthew where Jesus gathers the disciples, he pairs them up, and he sends them out with the task of proclaim this message, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. So now they're the sowers. They've gone out and they've sowed the seed. They've proclaimed the kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is here. And there is no doubt that they have seen all four of these responses. They have some people hear it and take hold of it. Some people hear it and it's gone. And some people just don't even want to hear it. Jesus was reassuring them that not everybody's going to hear. Not everybody's going to hear and accept it. Not everybody's going to hear it and produce fruit from it. So what does that mean for us today? And what do we take away from this parable? Because even though I think it was set alongside what was happening in real time during Jesus' life and ministry, I think there's still some things that we can grab a hold of and take and apply to our life. One of those things is, I think Jesus made sure to point out the difference between hearing and understanding. Hearing and accepting. Hearing and holding fast to the message of the kingdom. This is one of my biggest fears. I fear that today there are so many competing messages, we don't even hear the message of the kingdom. Let me explain that. I think we hear something that sounds similar to the message of the kingdom. I think we hear messages that make us feel good about ourselves, or maybe messages that give us a sense of some kind of eternal security. But do we really hear the message of the kingdom? That's the question. And we have taken this parable. I've been guilty of doing this myself. We have taken this parable and making it about having our sins forgiven. All about having our sins forgiven. And completely wiped it out of the kingdom of God. When we think about the audience that Jesus was speaking to, the core issue for them was not having their sins forgiven. The core issue for them was the restoration of the kingdom. That was their concern. We need the kingdom restored. And Jesus is telling them the kingdom is here. So the invitation, the seed that was sown was an invitation for people to come and live under the reign of God in his kingdom on earth now. That's what Jesus was saying. The kingdom is here. The invitation is open. Come and live under God's reign now. And this is what he says. For people that hear it and understand it, it leads to productive kingdom life. He said some people have, they produce a fruit 100-fold, 60-fold, and some 30-fold. Like, grabbing onto the message of the kingdom leads to productive kingdom life. And that means everything he said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, they are living those things in their life. The concern isn't just about going to heaven when we die. It's about bringing heaven to earth now. So I'm going to just close with this simple question. There's no one big takeaway point. There's nothing that I say, hey, here it is, remember this, and everything's going to be good, and you'll walk out of here with something. I want to actually make you think. I don't want to give you the answer, but I want you to think about this. Are we hearing the message of the kingdom of God, or are we responding to a message that asks Jesus to be part of our kingdom? Are we really hearing the message of the kingdom of God, Or are we responding to a message that simply asks Jesus to be part of our kingdom? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your presence with us. Thank you for the reality that we can experience your rule, your reign, your kingdom now. I pray that we would become people that wrestle with what it means to be a part of your kingdom. Help us to be people that don't just simply hear the words that you're speaking, but we take those words and we just dig deep to understand, to take hold of, and to persevere in. May our desires align with your desires. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.